But in Samuel chapter 1, I think, is an interesting chapter. It doesn't deal directly with the prophet Samuel, but it does deal with his birth, or before his birth. And I think that there are some things in this chapter that we can look at and learn from. The key verse I'd like to focus on tonight would be verse 11. But let's start at reading at verse 1, and we'll go through the first 11 verses. Now there was a certain man of Ramathaim Zophim of Mount Ephraim, and his home was, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jehoram, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zoph, an Epaphrathite. And he had two wives, the name of the one was Hannah, and the name of the other was Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. And this man went up out of his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. And when the time was that Elkanah offered, he offered to Peninnah his wife and to all her sons and her daughters portions. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb. And her adversary also provoked her sore for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. And as he did so year by year, and when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. Then said Elkanah her husband to her, Hannah, why weepest thou? And why eatest thou not? And why is thy heart grieved? Am I not better to thee than 10 sons? So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon the seat by a post of the temple of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul, and prayed unto the Lord, and wept sore. And she vowed a vow, and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid, and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but wilt give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall be no razor come upon his head. And we'll stop right there just for a few minutes. In this particular chapter, we have the setting of Samuel's birth. And first of all, in verse 2, we notice that the wife of Hannah was Elkanah. Now, Elkanah was married to two wives here in chapter 1. And we see that Elkanah had engaged in polygamy, which was a common practice in the Old Testament. And let's also keep in mind that God did not put his stamp of approval on this practice. And you know, the marriage relationship for God is one man, one woman forever, or until they die. And in this particular case, Elkanah had two wives, and it caused some friction, caused hard feelings in the family during this time. And of course, Peninnah had some children, but Hannah did not. And we see that caused a major problem in the relationship, the husband-wife's relationship here. And in verse 3, we get a glimpse of the character of Elkanah. He took his family to worship and to sacrifice to the Lord every year. He was concerned about the spiritual condition of his family. He understood that Elkanah himself, being the husband and the father, was the spiritual leader of the family. And he took that responsibility seriously. And he brought his family every year to Shiloh to sacrifice to the Lord. And in verse 4, we see that when Elkanah made the sacrifice, that he gave portions of gifts to both his wives, to Peninnah and to Hannah. And in verse 5, it says he gave a worthy portion, or a double portion, to Hannah because he loved Hannah the most. And we also see at the end of verse 5, you'll notice a phrase there. It says, but the Lord had shut up her womb. And we see that phrase repeated in verse 6. At the end of verse 6, it says, because the Lord had shut up her womb. And this was a part of the plan of God for Hannah's life. Some people may think, well, you know, God is cruel and mean not to let this woman have children. But we have to understand that this this was part of the workings of God. This was part of the providence of God. Now, what I mean by the providence of God is that God rules in the events and circumstances of our lives. God was ruling in the his providential care was ruling in Hannah's life. In Hannah, and in the providence of God, Hannah could not have children. And at the time, we may say, "Well, that's horrible, that's cruel, that's mean," but it's really not, because we see the outcome later on, and we'll talk about that in a few minutes. But we see in verse 6 that Hannah was provoked by Peninnah, and every year, you know, she was reminded of the fact that she had no children, and Elkanah's other wife had children, and this was a constant source of misery for Hannah. And in verse 7 it says that as he did so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her, therefore she wept and did not eat. You know, Hannah was one of the most miserable women we've seen in the scripture. She had severe anxiety. I guess today we could call that depression. And she was in a most miserable state because she wanted a child. And she knew that the only way that she could have a child is that the Lord would intervene and allow her to have children with Elkanah. And in verse 8, we see that Elkanah, her husband, tried to console Hannah, to comfort her. He says, "Am I not better to thee than ten sons?" And we see here in verse 8 that Elkanah was devoted to his wife. He loved Hannah dearly. And he was very concerned about her. He tried to comfort her. But, of course, Hannah wouldn't be comforted during this time. And we continue on in verse 9, and Hannah rose up early after they had eaten in Shiloh, after they had drunk, and she went to the temple. And she went to the temple to inquire, to lay her petition before the Lord. And in verse 10, it says, it gives us a picture in verse 10 of the what Hannah was going through, her emotional state in verse 10. It said that she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. Hannah was crying, sobbing, weeping before the Lord. That was her mental state. That was her emotional state. And we see that she was in bitterness of soul. Another rendering for that is that Hannah was greatly distressed. She was greatly distressed. And even though she was distressed, that Hannah was emotionally distraught, even though she was going through this horrible time of emotional turmoil in her life, she prayed to the Lord. She prayed to the Lord. And her burden didn't drive her away from the Lord, but it brought her closer to her God. And we see that in verse 10. And even though Hannah, we may feel sorry for Hannah, or we may say to Hannah, "Listen, lady, it's time for you to get a grip on things and get your life straightened out, so quit crying." Sometimes we just can't do that, can we? We have, in Hannah's particular case, she was so emotionally distraught at being provoked by Peninnah and the fact that she couldn't have children, that she was her soul was in pain. And she brought that, all these things, to the Lord, her emotional state. And you know, sometimes when we get in states like Hannah and distraught and we're depressed, sometimes we have some irrational thoughts and we do irrational things. And but this is the time, brother, sister in Christ, and during those times of emotional depression or being distraught and overwrought emotionally, this is the time that we should go to the Lord. These are the times that when we can bring ourselves and our soul and our petition and our hearts to God and pour it out before Him. And that's exactly what Hannah was doing. She was coming to the Lord, and she was in bitterness of soul, but she was weeping, crying, sobbing, but she was praying also to the Lord. In verse 11, she says, and she vowed a vow. In other words, Hannah made a vow to the Lord. If God allows her to have a son, she will give him back to the Lord for a lifetime of service. That was Hannah's vow. Lord, if you'll give me a son, I will give him back to you. You can use him any way you want, whatever you decide. And she also said, no razor shall come upon his head. That would be a Nazirite vow, of course, in this particular case. But we see a number of things in Hannah's prayer. She says, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid, and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life. One of the things we see about this prayer in verse 11 is interesting. Hannah's complete surrender to the will of God. Hannah was willing to put her whole life, the life of her family, the life of her future child, into the hands of God. Hannah was willing to, she was willing that the Lord would take her son, use him for God's service all his life, and Hannah was in such an emotional state, but even though she was in an emotional state, she was willing for the Lord to take that son that she was going to have and that the Lord would use him. Hannah was willing to give her son back to God. I wonder how many of us who have children would be willing to do that. Sometimes we want to hang on to our kids, don't we? And for a long time. But we have to understand, you know, the Lord wants to take our children, our sons and our daughters. He wants to use them for himself, you see. And Hannah was willing to give up her son to God. That means that she may not see her son for a while. She might not be able to instruct him and train him like she wanted to. But she was willing for her future son to be serving the Lord for his whole life. Hannah was willing to do that. She was completely surrendered to the will of God. Another thing we see about this prayer, it was a special prayer at a special time for a special person. You know, God was working in Hannah's life. We can see that very clearly in this chapter. But you know, we have to understand something, brother, sister in Christ. God was working in the life of his people, the nation of Israel. It wasn't an accident that Hannah couldn't have children. This was all God's plan, you see. God was working not only in Hannah's life, God was working in the nation of Israel's life and the lives of his people. You know, it's interesting, you know, when God makes a plan for our lives, it's not only for the present, but it's also for the future, is it not? Look back in your life. You know, you've been saved, a number of us have been saved for many years. We have some years to look back to. And we can see how God has worked. In a particular case, things looked pretty bad for us. Things were not going our way. Things were pretty painful. We were in affliction. We had this trial. We had this burden. But we see how God took those circumstances, those events in our lives, and He made that part of his plan for our lives, you see. We can look back and we can see that. Hannah could look back years later from chapter 1. After Samuel was born, she could look back years later and see how God had worked in her life. She could literally see the hand of God working in her life. And brother, sister in Christ, that's a wonderful thing. See, it brings all our circumstances and events into a different perspective, does it not? See, we can look at our lives now and we can say, well, you know, things are not going too good for Earl right now. But, you know, later on we can look back and we can say, you know, that was all God's plan. He worked all these things out for his glory, for our benefit. And Hannah was in that situation too, you see. And I think another thing we see in this prayer is that, you know, Hannah had no idea the impact her prayer would have on the nation of Israel. She had no clue. You know, the only thing that Hannah wanted, she wanted a son. That's all she wanted. She had no idea that in the providence and plan of God, that God would take this man Samuel and use him as a great leader of his people. Samuel was a judge. He was a prophet. He was a spiritual leader of the nation of Israel. He anointed kings. He did a great work for God. God used Samuel mightily. Do you think that was going through Hannah's mind that I'm going to have this great man for God and he's going to lead my people? I don't think so. Like I said, you know, Hannah, the only thing she wanted a son. She wanted a baby. She wanted a child. And God used Samuel in a mighty and wonderful way to the glory of God. And another thing I think we see in this prayer is the prayers of godly women move the hand of God. The prayers of godly women move the hand of God. You know, some of you ladies here, and some of you involved in the outreaches once a month, women's ministry that we have. You know something, that's one of the most valuable ministries we have at Northgate Chapel. Especially when the women here at Northgate Chapel pray. And you know, I was thinking about this not too long ago. You know, Hannah was just, she probably thought of herself as a small, insignificant, tiny little person. But her prayers moved the hand of God. Godly women, you know, sometimes women, I think, say, well, you know, I can't do much, and, you know, I can't preach, and I can't do this, and I can't do that, and I don't see how, what I can do, but ladies, you can pray. You know, when you pray, that moves the hand of God. I wouldn't be up here preaching to you on Wednesday night if it weren't for you praying for me. I couldn't do it. So we see that Hannah, even though she was, she thought of herself as small and insignificant in the sight of God, when she prayed, it moved the hand of God. And this ministry we have with the women, I tell you what, if y'all are praying, I'm sure that you do on Saturday morning during that time, that when you're praying, you're moving the hand of God in this assembly. If you pray for the needs of this assembly, God is going to not only hear those prayers, He will answer those prayers. He will, ladies. I encourage you to continue to do that. But we see here in this chapter something else. In verse 20, let's drop down to verse 20, chapter 1. Wherefore it came to pass when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived that she bare a son and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked him of the Lord. Hebrew word for Samuel is Shemuel, I think. That's how it's pronounced. But Samuel was born here in verse 20. And God answered Hannah's prayer. Isn't that great? I think that's another conclusion we could draw from this verse 11 in Hannah's prayer. God answered her prayer. God gave Hannah exactly what she wanted. And we see that clearly in verse 20. And in verse 24, let's look at verse 24 verses 24 through 28. And when she had weaned him, she took him up with three bullocks and one ephah of flour and a bottle of wine and brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh, and the child was young. And they slew a bullock and brought the child to Eli. And she said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I asked of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord, and he worshiped the Lord there. Verse 28 says, I have lent him, her son, Samuel, to the Lord. That word lent can also mean dedicate. I have dedicated my son to the Lord. And it may seem that Samuel is going to be borrowed by God and God's going to give him back to Hannah, but that's not what's going on here. Hannah was willing to give up Samuel to the Lord for his service. Another translation says, and I have lent him to the Lord, it says, for his whole life he will be given over to the Lord. For his whole life he will be given over to the Lord. And, you know, I think it's interesting that Hannah was willing to give up her son, her child, for God's service. And you know, I think that's instruction for us as believers that have children, or some of us haven't had children, don't have children yet. is the fact that when we have children, these are gifts from God, and we can train our children, instruct them, nurture them, help them, guide them and direct them, and that's all good things to do. But in the end, God wants to take our children and use them for Himself, for His service, for His glory, for His kingdom. And Hannah realized that, and Hannah was willing to do that. She was willing to give up her son for the Lord. And as I said before, God used Samuel in an incredible and mighty way to change the nation of Israel. He used one man to do that, to accomplish that. So one person, one child that we have can make an impact for the future. And I hope y'all keep that. I hope you keep that in mind and remember that God is continually working in our lives. God is working in your life. He is working in my life to bring about His plan. And He has a wonderful and fabulous plan for you and me in our lives. What it takes from us is obedience to His will and to His word. And in the end, God gave, if we read this, some verses in chapter 2 that tell us this, Hannah had 3 more sons and 2 daughters. She had 5 more kids. So we see that the Lord is a very compassionate and gracious God, is He not? Hannah's womb was shut up. God had prevented her from having children. Hannah prayed to the Lord. She had God gave her a son, and then not only that, God gave her 5 more children. How gracious and how compassionate our God is. That's just like Him, isn't it? Just like the Lord to do something like that. And we'll end our session this time in chapter 1, and next time we'll pick it up in the life of Samuel.